and welcome to We the People. On the program today, the government's attempt to block and ban pornographic sites said to be 857 in number has, well, quite literally ended in an anticlimax. Since then, the government has retracted. It's now saying it wants to restrict the ban to child pornography. Now, there would be no quarrel with that, except that tech geeks have pointed out that that may be technically impossible and absolutely unattainable, making the argument that internet service providers would rather ban all pornographic content rather than take on the liability or risk of being responsible for child pornography. On We the People today, we look at the government statement. It says it does not want to be the moral police, but there are also what the IT minister calls conflicting sensibilities, complaints from women and child rights activists. In an age of changing social norms, who defines what is pornography? When is pornography art and when is it just porn? And is there a gender divide in the debate? The question before We the People today is whether a Swachh internet is mission impossible. Let me start with you, Arvind Gupta, as somebody who understands technology. You're the national technology head for the BJP. There are two aspects to this debate. Was the attempt to ban porn desirable, and is it possible? And while the government initially sought refuge behind the Supreme Court, when you look very carefully, the Supreme Court's own judge, Justice Rohinthan Nariman, actually speaks about how this is Hydra-headed. You close down 2 crore websites, another 2 crore will spring up. Did the government misunderstand the technology of this? Was it a technical misjudgment or was it a political misjudgment?
To answer that question, I'll have to give you the background to what has happened. The government has got this case, which was, you know, which been going on in Supreme Court since 2013.
Yeah.
And since coming into power last year,
yeah,
there is something called the Cyber Regulation Advisory Committee, which has met, which is stakeholders from civil society, from industry, across ministries. They have met on this very important issue to discuss what are the technicalities to do this. The case was particularly against child porn, and that is exactly what this particular case has been about, and as a resultant of which this porn ban, which actually was never a ban, actually happened. So the committees have met and they have all agreed on one thing,
that
it's not possible to ascertain with any level of confidence what is child porn or not and how to ban it.
Unless someone manually watches every single website.
Well, and as you rightly said, I mean, there are 20 million websites at last count, 25% of internet traffic is pornography. It's just virtually impossible. Many countries have attempted to do that. They made it illegal, but banning is still not possible.
So why were these 857 sites
I'll come to
be blocked?
See, the court asked for an action taken report. What has been the action that the government has done so far? Because this has prolonged for 2.5 years. And
yet the same Chief Justice did say we will not intrude on the right to privacy of adult people.
Barka, let me complete that. The point is very simple. There are 20 million websites. If the intent of the government was to ban all porn, I think pornstar.star, it's called in technical language, or something very, very, very drastic should have been done. Thankfully, it was not done. So the intent of the government was never to ban porn, but to really, first of all, act on a certain, I don't say a judgment, but a direction of the court, action taken on the report, on the court requirement. And secondly, very importantly, those were 800 sites submitted by the petitioners.
Yes.
Why it was reversed? You know, we all know it was reversed because it was, of course, found out, and it's, again, it's. I know there is Section 79 and all this.
Where does it stand now? You're looking for
There is no porn ban.
There is
but,
no
but
porn
the
ban.
Government is committed. The government is committed on child pornography.
Okay, I want to bring in Nikhil Pava, because when you said there is no child, there is no porn ban, you did this,
yeah,
which means you're saying in effect there is a porn ban.
In effect, a porn ban still exists because what the government has said is the ISPs,
The internet service providers
have to ensure that there is no child pornography on these sites. If I'm an ISP, I don't have the wherewithal on these 857 sites.
You know, technically there should be no child pornography. I mean, that's the whole thing. Child pornography is illegal.
No one is saying that there should be child pornography, but the ISPs do not have the wherewithal. And frankly,
the government also doesn't have the wherewithal.
Government may not have the wherewithal. So should we actually defer the role of the judiciary to an ISP? Should an ISP
decide
what
to block,
what not to block?
So you're saying the government is passing the buck to the ISP?
No, there is no passing the buck. The point is the government is making its stance very clear, Barkha.
You're saying you want to ban child porn, but we haven't yet found the best mechanism
there
as
is
to
no,
how to do this.
Exactly, and it has been debated, and I would welcome anybody who has solutions around
Nikhil
it.
Nikhil, one moment, and then Akhil, no, then Akhil's
there
coming
was,
in.
There was also something disingenuous about the way the order was supposedly revoked or removed. They didn't say that the last order has been removed. They just said, make sure there is no child porn and you can open the rest of the sites according to what you decide.
That's what the case is all about.
No, but they could have
just
revoked the order.
The case is all about child pornography. I want to make it very clear. The case is all about child pornography.
So there was somewhere a mistake made in blocking these 857 sites. A mistake in the government's own reasoning.
Let me reword it.
Yeah.
It could have been done in a different manner.
Okay. Akhil, the question still remains. We're still struggling with the larger question. I think everybody in this room would say, child porn, we don't want. What I'm hearing from Nikhil say is it's disingenuous to actually just transfer that responsibility onto the internet service providers because the ISPs ain't going to do it. That's actually what I'm hearing you say. What are the legal dimensions involved in this? Do you see this as a state control over sexuality? Or do you see this as a legitimate concern about child pornography?
Well, I think we need to separate two issues. One is a matter of principle and the current legal position in terms of whether distribution of pornography is permissible within our current legal structure. If it is not permissible, should it be? That's one issue.
Yeah.
The second issue, which is distinct, is the problem of implementation. Hmm. So you can start by saying that we want to ban X, but we can't do it.
Yeah.
And do you think
that's what's happened here?
There's an inconsistent statement that we just heard. The government is committed to banning child pornography, not perhaps then committed to banning pornography.
Yeah.
But it recognizes that it's not possible to do it. So, number one, it says it's not possible. We are still committed. So, in what way are you committed? One doesn't know. And then why the distinction between the two, given that under our current law, pornography and its distribution is unlawful. So is child pornography, which is
You're
of course a subset of that.
You're saying why a distinction between adult porn,
yes,
which presumably has consenting adults
right.
now, in that content.
I as an individual believe that adult porn, in that sense, is a matter of choice.
Yes.
And it should be permitted.
Yes.
But as a lawyer, I can tell you
yes.
that our current state of the law is that its distribution is not permitted. It is treated as dirt for dirt's sake. And there are any number of judgments over time in the last several decades that have, in fact, drawn that distinction between pornography, which is clearly not permissible, and other matters.
So you're saying legally the government is on ambiguous, in ambiguous territory here.
Yes, and this distinction between pornography and child porn is specious.
Is there any data? Is there any identification of whether any of those sites actually have child porn or not? There is no data. It's just a list of sites, including sites like.
But you know. I just want to say one thing, that while it's easy to sort of make this into a funny show and crack lots of jokes, as we speak in Pakistan, the biggest child sex abuse scandal has surfaced, where children, sometimes under the age of 10, have been forced to perform sex, Nikhil, on videotape, and those videotapes are then being sold for 50 rupees.
Absolutely.
So there is. As David Cameron said, there is that dark place of the internet which he called a direct danger to our children.
No one is.
So while I don't support any government banning anything, there is a problem here for our society.
Agreed. And no one is contesting banning child porn.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is identify where it is and then block that. Where is the identification? It's just a list of sites, including humor sites.
No, I agree.
Nonwebjokes.com.
Nikhil, I'll tell you something. This has been a debate many times in the past that has happened. That who judges, and I think that's where I'm leading to the next point.
Yeah. Who judges what is porn?
What is child pornography or not? The sensibilities of our country, the age that...
Child porn should be easy to judge. I mean, it has children in it to start with.
Well, children, what is the age limit of a children? There are many issues to that. I'm not trying to defend porn ban. Let me be very clear here. And you and me know better that there is no technical solution to identify it. There is no software which will say this is child porn, this is acceptable porn, this is rape porn, this is acceptable or not, maybe that's something we should debate.
But the United Kingdom did have a model, Arvind, and that model was that the default position is that there is a porn ban, but as an adult, you can opt for your internet service provider to give you pornographic content, but there is an internet watchdog that actually filters out all the child porn. I don't know the mechanics of how they do it. And David Cameron actually announced that rape porn and child porn is banned. Now, I know Nick is looking at me like if you had a VPN, you can still get around that, right? And so we're back to what are we debating? Is it desirable or is it undesirable and unachievable, or is it desirable and unachievable? I think that's what Akhil is saying, that legally we don't know. Now I want to open up the debate. It isn't just about the legality. It is actually about how we see what porn is and what its place is in our society. I want to bring in Nagma. Nagma, you're with the Congress now, but you have been an actor. You have done what would be considered sexually explicit scenes. And you know, you would know that if you do a Google search on you, there'll be hot videos about Nagma. I don't know if you take that as a compliment, if it makes you uncomfortable, if that's how you see yourself, if that's how men see you. What do you think?
See, Barkha, I think on a macro level, you can't completely ban porn. But on a micro level, yes. Like, I'm of the opinion that child porn should be banned. But what I'm saying is, what happens in the film industry, what happens in films, is already seen by the censor board. Is already, I mean, what we're talking about is pornography is like, you know, pure porn, pure sex, which I still think shouldn't be banned, because illegally it's more readily available in the market, and then it makes it worse because men tend to see that, and then they see that again and again and again, and then they get, you know,
they expect that from their partners.
Yeah, and basically they treat women as objects.
And yet you have done many of these scenes, Nagma.
No, but
not pornographic scenes.
You can't compare that to what happens in films. I mean, what happens in films is like it just happens, like it just goes through the flow. And then what happens is when there are actresses right on the top, they have to at some point of time do every kind of scene, you know what I mean? And I read
somewhere that Ekta Kapoor now makes her actors sign a nudity clause. In other words, people who sign on have to agree to do depict their body to the level required. Now, I'm just wondering if
No, I think that is not permissible, because censor board is in place, and I don't think that anything which is there's anything that can come without, you know,
Akhil, you wanted to come in for a second, and then I just want to but you're saying you don't
no,
want to ban adult
porn. No, I say that
porn.
I may not like what I see on the internet.
But did you
there
like?
Might be a lot
did
of
you, did, when you look back at your old videos or your old scenes, do you feel comfortable with what you did?
No, it's not the question of whether I feel comfortable. Obviously,
only you have to feel comfortable.
No.
That's why I'm asking. Barkha,
I need to ask you. I need to tell you one thing: that whatever happens in a film is something which happens in the society, and that which is happening in the society is something which is depicted in the real life. So real life is depicted in real life. Therefore, even these item numbers and things like
that,
Maharashtra, they are the all these cultures in different regions which have all these things. That is exactly what
okay, I'll bring in Akhil and then Anuja. Yeah.
I think one argument that often gets trotted out is that there is some sort of causal connection between the watching of porn and sexual violence that is thereafter committed.
Yes.
Also,
Chowmin is a cause for sexual violence. Yeah, okay.
And cell phones.
So forget those gems of... Iran,
so,
hang on
so,
just a
so,
second. Yeah.
So the issue that... One issue that arises is, I mean... Clearly, there are those who watch pornography and don't commit sexual violence.
Yes.
There are those who don't watch pornography still commit sexual violence.
Yeah.
So, there's clearly no necessary causal connection. Now, the question arises whether, therefore, in order to prevent a possible causal connection in a given case or in a number of cases, you can take away the freedom of the others who would not be so affected to watch that.
Okay, I want to bring in Anuja. Anuja, you said in a Facebook post that you didn't give a toss about this ban controversy. But as a parent, you worried that your children and their entire notion of romance, their first kiss, their first sexual encounter, it would be, and I think you used the word soiled by exposure to pornography. You're not talking about child porn. You're just talking about regular porn. And you're saying you have a problem that it exists and that it's so easily available.
Yeah. See, the thing is, when we say child pornography, one definition of that is pornography in which children are acting.
Yeah.
The other child pornography is pornography that children are seeing, and that you can't possibly control. So there may be something that is made for adults, but today there is no way you can stop children from watching it. And what happens is that, again, you know, I have a 14-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
These kids, there is an onslaught. Never before has it been so bad. And these children,
but you know, there would be people who argue that, you know, maybe in our generation you had 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds hiding their Playboy magazine under the bed.
There's a big difference between Playboy magazine and what is available today. There's a huge difference. A child can be watching a video game, a very clean video game, at the corner of a screen there's this thing popping up, you know, of some undressed woman simulating oral sex and looking really excited about it. And my 14-year-old is watching this game and this woman keeps popping up repeatedly. Again and again and again. That's the way it is right now. And we can't possibly ban things for our children because children know technology way more than we do.
And therefore, what's your solution?
No, my solution is that eventually it is about its self-censorship, what you teach your children. I really don't think this is something that can be fixed here. What really worries me is how mainstream porn has become, how cool it has become, how
that nobody wants to say anymore.
And it's like, you know, it's bearing in on the side of freedom of speech and expression and stuff, which is really not what I think our founding fathers had in mind.
Nodding in agreement.
When they said freedom of speech.
I absolutely agree with Anuja and Akhil. There actually have been lots of studies which show the connection between pornography and rape.
That's never been proven.
There's been several academic studies and all around the world about how there's an entire book been written called Pornland by an author called Gail Dines, who spent her life against, you know, as an activist against pornography. But what Anuja is saying is absolutely correct, is that never before has porn become so mainstream. And India is going through a very particular phase because we didn't really have Playboy magazine here. You know, so it's gone from nothing.
I'm sorry. I mean, is there anyone here who's going to say that Playboy kind of always existed?
But it wasn't.
Is anyone going to come?
Ma'am, something, you may not have Playboy as such mainstream in India, but there have been several other magazines. In fact, even Indian magazines which have something called as, I don't remember, Auntie Savita. She talks about problems, how you can solve your issues. So there's nothing Playboy mainstream to India, but there have been Indian versions of it. Also, now that we're talking about porn ban, there's something called as technology which the government fails to understand. Even if you ban anything, there's something called as VPN, which is the virtual private networks. So that means you basically cannot ban anything. Everything is out there and open. You watch it, you don't watch it, it depends upon you.
So let me put this to the audience. How many of you do think that there should be a ban on pornography? That there should be? And how many of you think that it's an adult choice and a private choice? And that is, I think, the majority of this audience. And Arvind, I think somewhere you're misreading. I think somewhere when the state enters the bedroom, whether it's with gay rights, which we're still waiting for to be decriminalized, whether it's in Bombay today when the police has swooped down in some real-life version of Masan and picked up couples who are having sex because they're not married, there is an impression era.
Yeah.
Being created, that the state is interfering in private notions of sexuality. I personally relate to what Anuja has said.
Yes,
I'm just throwing the question out there.
Can I respond to that? I'll just let her complete a sentence and then another.
Pornography is linked to rape. Pornography has been linked to very screwed up notions of patriarchy, of screwed up notions of sex. There's been studies done that have said that men who watch too much pornography cannot have real relationships with women. It makes it harder and harder.
It's not so much about rape at all. It is about deadening your senses and looking at people like objects. If you watch any porn video, everybody's hands are out of the place. You know, it's just contact between private parts. That is all there is to it.
Because it's a disembodiment of sex.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So you don't look at people as human beings. You may not rape someone, here. But you're incapable of a regular relationship.
Okay, Arvind, I'll let you complete your point.
Yeah, so the two things. I think, I again and again want to make a very simple point. The government had no intent to get into somebody's bedroom.
Yeah.
It is technically today not feasible to ban any such things.
Yeah.
But the intent is there to answer your question, to really see what mechanisms can be put in place for child pornography. We are very committed to that. And
yes,
if there was a ban, I again want to repeat this, 857 sites are not going to ban pornography in India.
Mm.
I mean,
so what is
we
the
know technology
position?
Better than that, man.
I'm confused. Let me just say in the BJP's defense,
if we had to ban it, there would be 20 million websites.
Let me just say in the BJP's defense that it was under the UPA that Savita Bhabhi which she was talking about was banned. So governments have tried to do this again and again, but I have no idea why.
Hand-handed approach, it's not possible. This current government's intent was not to do it. It would have not rolled it back, and in the process of rolling it back, whatever Rikhil says or not. But 857 sites don't constitute the porn world.
But you know, I'm just wondering if there is a gender divide. Bandeep, give me half a second. I'm just wondering if there's a gender divide in this debate. Aditi, the two women who've spoken, and I kind of found myself relating. I mean, I don't support any ban. Let me put it on record. I think this was a kind of hastily done, not thought through approach. But I can relate to parts of what Anuja is saying, that there is a fear that the over hyper-sexualization actually just kills sex and romance and love and human contact.
And gives men very screwed up notions of what...
You're saying men again and again. You're assuming that women don't watch porn?
Women do watch porn, but again, it's you know, women are objects in most pornography.
Let Aditi come in then Akhil.
In fact, yesterday, we were talking about the incident that took place in Bombay where the cops swooped into a hotel and picked up a bunch of couples and booked them for public indecency. And I have to say, I grew up in the age of midday mate, and where I saw my first sex organ completely unwillingly by a person who was walking down the street. And I sort of shared that on Twitter, and we started a hashtag called My First Public Indecency. And the responses that poured in were frankly heartbreaking. And so the sexualization of children in this country, there is already so much messed up.
So here's my question, and this I actually want to bring up two images now. I have Bandeep here, and he's a very well regarded photographer, but among the things that he does is nude photography. And I also have, and we'll introduce her in a moment from now, Kashmira Shah. She is somebody who does item numbers and pretty sexually explicit song and dance sequences. And I'm just wondering, because this takes us back to the aesthetic debate, that who defines what's porn and what's erotica? So for a moment, on one side is one of Bandeep's pictures. We need to cut it here, please, in the monitor. Okay. On the left is Bandeep's very masterful photograph. And it's an image of a nude woman. And on the right is an image of one of Kashmira's songs, a kind of raunchy grab from a raunchy song. And the title we've put there is, which one do you think is the real dirty picture? And I want to bring in Bandeep now.
Okay, I have... first, I'd like to respond to something that Anuja and...
Talk a little bit about your image first, and then we can come back to it, because we have it right up there.
It's related.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. The thing is that, you know, even I am a father of an 8-year-old, and I face the similar scenario. But, you know, when I discuss this, when I discuss the prevalence of porn and the our inability to, you know, avoid it, my first reaction is, you know, what do we do to prepare ourselves and our child to face this? You know, and it is not looking at a ban, but it is looking at preparation at our end. I don't know why don't we see efforts in that direction from the government. I don't understand why we don't see debates, we don't see discussions where the aspects, the dehumanizing aspect of porn is openly discussed, you know. And it is there I come in and talk about my image. And when I look at the body, and when, I, you know, the guideline that I look at is a very Indian, you know, there's an Indian concept which is best expressed in the word called bhav. What is the bhav that an image evokes? What is the bhav that, you know, is at the end of what is produced as a work? And if that bhav is the bhav of purity, the
but who decides that?
That is an individual thing. That is always an individual thing. And it is decided in the ambit of the individual and also in the ambit of a social debate about
it. So are we back to I know it when I see it? You know, that is what it famously is. What is porn? You know it when you see it. Kashmira Shah, if we can bring her up now. Now, Kashmira Shah has done many of these raunchy numbers. And there was also this famous TV serial based on Survivor. I forget what it was called. But Kashmira, you were in a jungle somewhere. हाँ जंगल से मुझे बचाओ, हाँ इस जंगल से मुझे बचाओ, थैंक यू कश्मीरा, यू आर इन इस जंगल से मुझे बचाओ, इज अ काइंड ऑफ सर्वाइवर लॉस्ट कॉम्बिनेशन, अ देसी वर्जन ऑफ दैट, एंड एवरी एपिसोड यू वुड डू वुड एंड विद वुमेन लाइक योर सेल्फ डांसिंग अंडर सम फेक वॉटरफॉल. दोज इमेजेस आर ऑन टेलीविजन एंड अकॉर्डिंग टू मी दे प्रिटी पोर्नोग्राफिक. आई मीन दे आर नॉट कॉल्ड पॉर्न बट दे आर सॉफ्ट पॉर्न एट द वेरी लीस्ट. डू यू सी वॉट यू डू as kind of bordering on pornography?
Well, no, because the songs that I did, you're right, were very raunchy and hot. I do item songs, and the reality show that I did, those were the showers that we were taking, and they were actually showers. We were not dancing under the showers there, and they were not made-up showers. They were the waterfalls. But I feel that, yeah, Bollywood and us are going to be blamed even for the World War III next time. And instead of blaming us or banning porn, why don't we just, you know, teach our men not to rape, or teach our children or our husbands that children are meant to be children, and they're not supposed to be watched in on pornographic sites. I don't get that. I do films, and yeah, probably the difference between the films I do and the pornography sites is the lighting, you know. But that's other than that, I think it's very aesthetically done. We have porn stars becoming film stars. What do we expect film stars to become now, next?
You know, I actually like your candor. And I like the fact that you say that you can't transfer the responsibility of human behavior onto what I do, what I choose to do. But do you sometimes worry about the fact that this hyper-sexualization of women is not necessarily the empowerment we sought for ourselves? You know, this is a very confusing thing, that when we're sitting there, the porn industry in particular seems to be made by men for men. So I'm just wondering whether you see yourself as actually playing out the male fantasy and what that does to women who are perhaps wondering, I don't have a body like Kashmira's, I don't dance like this, I don't have this sensuality. I mean, what are the role models? Do you see yourself as in danger of influencing minds?
See, when I play on television or on films, I'm playing a character. But when I'm outside, I'm a completely different person. Yes, there is a fear of, you know, endangering young minds. But I'm not selling weapons to young people. I'm not getting up in the middle of the night and murdering. Or I'm not having alcohol and then raping my wife. I mean, what are we going to ban next? Oil, because it causes cholesterol and will lead to heart attack? I mean, great, let's ban oil. Let's be excited about that next, you know. I think let's just look at Bollywood as entertainment, and that's what it is, and not blame us for everything that goes wrong in this world, especially India. I would really appreciate that if people looked at me as an actor and not somebody who's doing, you know, stuff that is going to endanger young minds. Because I feel that it's up to our parents, our schools. Bollywood would probably teach you romance. What does porn teach you? After wedding, what to do? I don't think our parents teach us that. You don't allow sex education in schools. Where are we supposed to learn that from?
That is a really interesting point. That we don't talk about sex, so people are watching porn often to kind of learn. And I'm seeing a lot of hands go up. Ira,
You know, what Kashmira said was correct, that today young men and women are using pornography to learn about sex. This is really their first exposure to a woman's body, to what sex is. It's unfortunately pornography. But the kind of pornography that is on the internet is becoming increasingly violent. You know, it's so violent. So this year, S&M was a big thing. There was millions of videos made just on S&M. Porn is so violent now on the internet that porn makers are shocked, because people are becoming desensitized slowly and slowly. So yes, we should be teaching our children healthy views on sex, but they're learning about sex through pornography, and that is absolutely unhealthy. So while the government should be pressing on sex ed, unfortunately, that's just not happening.
Okay, so I want to take this back to Nikhil. Nikhil, is your focus on it can't be done, or it shouldn't be done?
My focus is on the fact that it shouldn't be done, and for a different reason. At the CRAC committee meeting, which Arvind had mentioned, one of the ways for blocking porn that was discussed was actually to put filters at India's international gateways, where we get internet traffic from.
Yeah.
My primary worry is that once we get those filters in place, we will not know what all is blocked and why it's blocked. Even today, when a block is executed, we have no information about who's asked for it to be blocked, why it's been blocked. Everything that we're getting is through leaked information.
Arvind, quick there response no there, and then I want to bring in Anuja on what we just heard.
I agree with Nikhil. That was one of the recommendations made by an industry body. Not by the government. This is not a recommendation of the government. Let me be very, very clear.
I agree, but it's a distinct possibility.
So, but
it's not about government, it's about bureaucrats.
There is no Big Brother approach that is there.
So why did this happen? Why are we here debating this?
Well, but you know, we are here debating it, but I think this is, India has come of age, I think.
Okay.
It's come of a digital age that we should debate it. I welcome this healthy debate, actually. And maybe this has been a trigger point to start or kick off this debate. You know, it's very important. US, you talked about UK, from the top level, people have started defining what is acceptable, what is not. I think India as a society needs to debate this. There is something called the Miller test in the US, which says what is permissible, what is not permissible.
Yeah.
I think all the concerns, including the liberty and the freedom of speech and freedom of consumption in their private bedrooms versus what the children should consume, need to be debated.
Let me get a question and then I want to go to Akhil and Anuja.
You know, you could possibly ban all the porn sites that you want to, but then there is a 50 Shades of Grey. That'll come up. How much would you ban?
No, you can't
ban. You said that, your intent is not to get into my bedroom.
Very different.
But you got into my kitchen and you banned beef. Then, you went into my entertainment room and you banned India's Daughter and, some other movies that, you've been trying to ban. I think the crux of it is the whole ideology.
See, I think we are mixing a few issues, my friend. If you want to start a debate, we'll do another show and Barkha can be requested. If you want to talk about India's Daughter, I'll tell you all the reasons.
I'll tell you something. But I'll tell you what his question is about. It is, as I said, the perception that the state's in my bedroom, the state's in my private life. Hang on, ma'am. You don't have a mic, so you can't be heard. Hang on a second. Let me come to you. Anuja, 50 Shades of Grey is a really interesting example. I'm a free speech advocate, but I really, really have a problem with the book. Because according to me, the book or the movie legitimizes a certain kind of S&M. Yes. And actually makes sexual violence seem like a possible female fantasy.
Yeah. Which is
and therefore Kashmira would then say, why are you dumping everything on us? And why are you dumping everything on pornography when the mainstream of porn that you spoke about, there is actually a mainstreaming of hypersexualization in all the imagery around us?
No, you're right. The thing is that the it's really tragic that things like 50 Shades of Grey come up, and a lot of girls today, I think as a generation and even the one previous to this and before that, we are sort of now being Stockholm syndromed into playing out little bit that porn fantasy that men seem to like. I see it more and more in younger and younger girls, the way they're dressing, the way they're acting. There's this weird kind of feminism thing where you're supposed to like pornography even though you're a girl.
Nagma, do you agree? Nagma, because somebody who's also is sexually explicit, and I want Bandeep to come in on this, is sexually explicit the same as sexually disturbing?
No, Barkha, I would want to
there
say
there was Bandit Queen, that very famous
we are in a day and age of 2015, but yet we do not talk about sex very freely. Yet we speak about sex like it's a taboo.
Yeah.
Yet students are not even taught. They're just, a biology teacher, she just brushes through a reproductive session or a chapter.
Yeah.
So why isn't sex spoken about to students and young minds in a better manner, in a nicer manner, where they're not, cut off from their emotions because of watching too much of porn?
Okay,
and why are women like us who are actually depicting what is actually happening in society? All the films that I've done are all A-plus grade films.
Yeah.
So when we portray something, it's just a character in society that we are portraying. So why is it a taboo? Why is it that we are labeled as, you are that hot, or you are that, you are the bad one, or who defines that and who says that?
But you are doing it. Hang on. Now let me give a contradictory argument. You or in today's generation, Kashmira or, whoever else, you are in a sense peddling sexuality. Hang on. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying it's your choice.
The very fact
I'm saying it's your choice.
This,
I'm
like
saying it's your choice. I'm saying it's any woman or man's individual choice, but then should you be ready to be seen as a sexual creature? I think that's where you are feeling uncomfortable.
I would like to answer that. I've done 100 plus movies, and if you go and watch all my movies, you will know that I was a number one actress and did all acting content films. But it also had every number one actress, whether you take it from yesteryears or today or whenever till this date, always has these kind of things because it's in the culture, it's in the region, it's in whether you take Lavani, whether you take anything. But if it is as sexual as that,
you put a warning sign over there.
And
that
you have a question?
This will be watched by this age group.
I think what Nagma's saying, and I think she's very correct, is that in a full scale, like a 3-hour movie, you will see many aspects of this woman, who the character is. She'll have a life, she'll have a family, she'll have a backstory. Item number is not that. A heroine doing a dance in a movie that she actually is, I think is fine. Item number, someone I don't talk to, I don't know who this woman is. She comes in, she does something hot, she goes away. It's a completely transactional relationship.
And not all item numbers are like that. Yeah. I have done 3 item numbers and none of them have this kind of content in it.
Okay, Akhil, is the principle that we are debating one of free speech, one of the boundaries that the state cannot step across? Or is it something else? Because I just feel this debate is so complex. It's we don't want the state to regulate. But there are other questions that are coming up from this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that all the other issues that are raised in terms of objectification, in terms of, you know, hypersexuality that we see in movies, etc., those are all legitimate issues. The contrast that you showed between, you know, a photograph and the image in the Bollywood film.
Yeah.
But whether those issues lead to a difficult question with regard to pornography in its sort of purest or worst form, which is sex for sex's sake, material that has no intention and purport other than to sexually arouse. It's not part of a movie, it's not part of a dramatic story, it's not part of a titillating scene that's part of other, you know, literary content. It is meant only to sexually arouse.
But is that a problem?
Well, under our law, yes. It's banned.
But under our law, being gay is a problem.
Now,
our law cannot be the last word on this necessarily.
I agree. I mean, there is a legitimate issue in terms of perhaps re-looking at the law. But today, the test that is applied is of contemporary community standards. That's what Supreme Court has said. Now, I would be very, very surprised if any judge of any court in this country today or parliament is willing to go out on a limb and say that our contemporary community standards in this country, which is not represented only by the people in this room, allows for pornography in that form, namely dirt for dirt's sake, as it were.
But you know, Kashmira said something interesting. She said people watch us to actually learn about sex. And I'm just wondering, the number of young people sitting here, how many of you learned about sex in school? Raise your hand if you had sex education in school. Sex education in school? I'm seeing like, what, 3-4 hands go up? And how many of you learned about sex from your parents? Parents, please raise your hand if you learned about sex from your parents. That's hardly anybody again. No, this is telling. Yeah. How many of you learned about sex from the internet? And that is the majority of hands going up. Let's do that again. How many of you learned about sex from the internet? And just keep it held up so we can have a sense of the room. And that's
including mine.
That's pretty much, Kashmira, you made your point. That's the majority of this room actually going up. Kashmira, you're raising your hand. You're saying you too learned about sex from the internet?
Of course. Yeah. Of course, my mom didn't even teach me what marriage was. I mean, sex was a taboo in my life, in all my friends' lives. I mean, sex, we'd get a slap on our face.
See, that's
there is no sex education. You can't talk to your dad about it, your uncle. I mean, definitely not.
You know, I think it would be a pretty weak justification for pornography.
Akhil, you're saying?
I said that it would be a pretty weak argument in favor of pornography if this is the argument.
That pornography is not the sex education you want.
Pornography was educational, I would be all for it. But the reality is that it's not. It's largely violent. It largely objectifies women. No. I have never seen a porn clip in my life in which the man is being objectified and not the woman. You know,
I can give you some like links.
No, okay. but Aditi. Okay, you said you can show us links, Aditi, where men are objectified.
No, where women are completely comfortable and happy doing what they're doing.
No, where men are objectified.
Why does it have to be the reverse? Why is it ek ko objectify nahi kiya to dusre ko? No. it's about finding an equal ground. And I think it's very unfair that we're questioning Nagma and Kashmira. Why don't we call Shakti Kapoor on this debate and say, "Tumne to bahut rape kiye hue hain screen pe. Tum batao bhai kisbaar prove karo."
But
I'm very glad that this
I think you make a fantastic point, and Kashmira's clapping and I'm clapping for you too, because women should not have to explain their choices. However, the reason that women are here and not Shakti Kapoor is because in many ways the discomfort with images of pornography are often, most often felt by women. And so I'm just interested in getting a more female perspective on it. And I'm just wondering whether you think it's essentially an industry for men by men.
It is, of course, an industry for men by men. I mean, the variety in which it is produced and the way it is produced, it's very, very clearly for men. And just like the internet is for men, right now 80% of the users of the internet are men. Women are coming into the space and trying to make their voice heard. And that's, I imagine, what will happen with porn.
I just want to get Arvind and then Mandeep. Yeah.
See, I think she makes a very interesting point and a very valid point. First of all, most of the porn that is being made, and the internet definitely, and you know, this whole porn ban, the government took it back, but the fact that it raised such a hue and cry on social media, which is a very male dominated social media today, I think to make this debate you know, a more plural debate, you need a lot of mothers, a lot of women in it, and that is not happening only on social media. So I want to do that warning. The second thing is, most of the porn, if you analyze that gets consumed in countries like India, is not produced in India. It's produced with a very Western definition. It's all produced in the US, in the UK, in some countries that, you know, can't be spelt also, because, you know, they can't be caught then. And that is where most of the porn is getting produced. I think a larger debate is we don't allow any porn to be produced in India. But
it is produced.
There is a very small volume.
The porn that is produced in India is very, very little.
The amount of Indian produced pornography which is being consumed is tiny compared to Western consumption.
And why is that important? And why I mention that is because India has to either see that is our definition of sexuality the Western definition of sexuality? Which is what we are consuming. That's what we are learning from. All the youngsters
who raise their hands. But the internet creates a flat world.
No, it is creating a flat world.
Bollywood comes to help it.
Sorry, Nagma.
Bollywood helps.
You know, in a way, it does help.
Okay,
in a way, it does help. And that's the point I'm trying to bring about.
I mean, why do we talk of sex as a taboo?
Okay, I want to hear from Bandeep.
Okay.
Is it true that when you started out doing nude photography, you did discuss with the women you knew. You wrestled with it for a while in terms of how it would be perceived. What did you wrestle with? And did you ever think this is I'm asking you, a lot of questions I'm asking here are not what I actually believe, but because people ask these questions. Did you ever feel, okay, this could be called porn?
Okay. I'll go back to, a relative point which was being discussed over here. That, you know, the problem over here is that, you know, we are discussing porn, but we are not discussing what is the alternative.
Yes.
You know, and the alternative is in the area where he just discussed that what point of view are we discussing over here? What notion of sexuality are we discussing over here? Mm-hmm. And if we go back into, and the answer lies very much within our own backyard. And the answer to this is, what is the Indian idea on sexuality? Yeah. And if you look at the Indian notion on sexuality, it is very, very comfortable, very, very open, and very, very, you know, liberal, so to say. Yeah. You know, in fact, there is no distinction between sexuality and spirituality in the Indian context. Yeah. The same energy, which is your sexual energy, is supposed to be transmuted and turned into spiritual energy.
And Anuja, you're looking at that because you agree or you disagree?
No, I disagree. I think what we really need is
why do you disagree with what he said?
I don't think that Indian attitudes towards sex are very liberal, and that is our default.
I think he means civilizationally. I think he means civilizationally and not the Indian middle class.
But not at the moment. I mean, it is not at the moment
because it is not discussed in that context.
Sure.
It is not discussed in the context.
Let us allow him to complete his point, then Akhil, and then this side.
I just want to.
We have to start taking last comments in any case.
And this is where I have wrestled with, and this is what my touchstone is. You know, in India we have Digambar monks.
Yeah.
This was an incident narrated to me by, you know, a scholar who asked a young girl sitting in the audience of a Digambar monk that, ये इतने naked जो आपके सामने बैठे हुए हैं आप आपको कुछ अजीब नहीं लगता इनकी company में बैठना? And the girl answered saying that, you know, he is naked but I don't see it.
Yeah.
You know, so in the Indian context, yeah. I have, when I explored and when I researched, the idea of sexuality is not in the absence of the garment. It is in the gaze. It is what you look
I
at.
I actually agree with that. I actually do agree with that.
The body with.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Yes, ma'am.
Most of the youth over here has learned sex from the internet. So that means before this, people were just unaware it was a hit and trial case or what?
Maybe. You wanted to say something?
There were books and other sources. Okay, and I think that the schools, especially, I'm a school teacher.
Yeah.
Right, okay, so somewhere we are making this huge gap. And, you know, what's the alternative was the question, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Somewhere we need to teach, somewhere we need to educate. And then people make their choices.
That is true.
And I think, where were we learning? We were learning from the books.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Last comments, we'll start with Akhil. 30 seconds to everybody.
This was a very important point, and it was something noted in the M.F. Hussain judgment of the Delhi High Court, that in India, there's a curious phenomenon where this test of contemporary community standards, traditionally it goes from conservatism to a more liberal standard. That's been the way of the world.
Yeah.
In India, and those who have studied and know about our history well have often made this point, it's gone the other way.
Yeah.
It's gone the other way. So we've become more conservative, and that's what the Delhi High Court said in that judgment,
we are being
sort of held captive by these band of conservatives, and that they don't necessarily represent us.
And the process of banning, you know, increases that mindset even more.
I think that's true.
Okay.
And the whole problem with the banning culture that we are encountering in India is that your opinion gets very sharply divided.
Yeah.
Watch porn or don't watch porn.
Yeah.
So, we could be critical insiders, you know. Fine. There is something wrong with content of some of porn, but despite that, I would say people should have the freedom to experiment with their sexuality. And if you're really talking about stopping sexual harassment, then we're not looking at the issue at a depth, and we are scapegoating porn, and we've scapegoated plenty of other things. They are all external issues. So
I do see what you're saying, that, you know, I like the critical insiders. You don't have to a ban always divides you into a for and against. Ira, last thoughts. Kashmira, coming to you after that. Last thoughts.
If there were any advantages to pornography, I would say yes. But, you know, I've done on-the-ground research on the subject, and there are none. But there are several disadvantages. There are several negative things created by porn, especially mindsets. And I don't think India right now can afford to have any more sexual violence. And even if there's an iota of a chance that porn creates that, you know, at least banning it would send the right signal.
You support the ban that almost nobody else in this room supports.
I do. And I've done on-the-ground research and interviewed 600 people and
so
seen
one
what
of
this
the,
does.
One of the things I've seen changes, so, that 5 years ago, if I'd done this program and said, how many of you learned about sex on the internet, even those who had would not have raised their hands. But today, everybody's okay to say that they actually surf the internet for sex.
I've written a book on sex. Like, I am liberal and I'm not a prude. You know, I've written sort of an entire, you know, book on this, and yet I'm saying, because I've seen what pornography does on the ground to young men's minds.
Okay.
And that's where my, that's where my point comes from.
Last thought.
I just wanted to flag that it should be about individual rights and not about a state deciding for individuals, for one.
Yeah.
The second point I wanted to make is that banning an extreme is a gateway to banning more. So we need to be, as a society, very conscious of what
Agreed.
We will lose. Just
Agreed.
Because we might be willing Agreed. To ban porn, there would be other bans.
As the ma'am said that it will affect the mindset of the people, so I would like to ask that, is there going to be a single rape case that is going to stop after this ban? And
that's
7 years ago, I just leading from what sir said, 7 years ago while I was in school, I was told that sex education is very important. Right now everyone concluded sex education is very important, but yet in this entire room everyone's learnt about sex through internet. I mean, it's long time that we've said that it's important, but it's a long time also that it's not been implemented.
Yeah.
We should do something.
Absolutely.
About
absolutely.
Just a quick point. The main concern seems to be about children watching porn.
Yeah.
Is it possible, I'd like to ask the ISP person, that you put barriers that, okay, you want to enter the site, pay me 100 rupees by credit card.
Well, kids today would be able to do that, so that won't go very far. Kashmira, quick 30 seconds from you. 30 seconds from you, and then I have to actually wrap. Kashmira.
Yeah, I would like to... Thank you. I would like to add that internet came to India in 1995. Was there no sexual violence against women or children before that? Secondly, I think, I know I'm a woman. I have a right to choose what kind of profession I am in, and I should have the right to choose what I watch. I don't think this ban would prevent me from watching porn or anything else on the net, and I'm sure it doesn't prevent anything.
Yeah, it's
else.
All about choice, and I would agree. With
increase
that.
Our, in fact, any push me ban karo, so you will want to watch it more.
Yeah,
I would like to say the same thing. Why others will decide what we want to watch? It should be our choice, right?
Arvind, Masaan opens with the scene of a young woman in Banaras, where you studied, actually surfing porn on the internet. You know, this is how Indian society is changing. And Akhil raises the interesting point. Is society ahead of the law? And shouldn't law be ahead of society?
Well, I was going to sum up with that I think it's high time you debate the impact of things like internet on societal behavior and discuss what kind of internet do we want in India.
Yeah.
That's very important. The second point is that, you know, I just want to repeat that the government has no intent to get into anybody's bedroom or block certain things. Unless it is related to child pornography, national security, public disorder, and international relations. And lastly, I think the most common thing that is coming up, which should be talked about a lot further, is about education in our schools, in our homes, and sex education, not education only.
I'm
sex
really
education.
Out of time. 15 seconds, Anuja. And Aditi, 15 seconds. Got to end.
All I would say is that, yes, I think the internet is completely the wrong place to learn about pornography because it's really going to screw up your mindset. If the government really wants us to be happy, we should make one Mile Sur Mera Tumhara, like a whole sex thing, and actually seriously put it out there because that would be so much healthier.
Put our own version of the what is clean, what is good.
Okay.
First, we should actually look at to whom does porn cater to. Basically, a major chunk of the Indian youth, which are men, basically.
That's you.
No, exactly. And men who can't get a girl for themselves, who are basically shy enough to go to a bar and actually ask for a girl to be friends with me.
Let's not get into that.
No matter how hard we say, this is a sad reality that the common folk of Haryana still looks at a girl today and thinks as if he should fuck him or he should actually he thinks about whether he should go out in a sexual manner or should he actually go ahead and
now what do you think?
I think the ban on porn actually brings about a very good change. Why? It
humanizes women.
Aditi.
May I just getting back to
I'm out of time.
The child porn question. There is the section 67B of the IT Act of 2008 that is but there hasn't been any conviction, and there have been actually, I know on my Twitter and Facebook timeline, where there have been reports of, you know, people reporting these child pornographic groups. Why aren't these people being taken to task immediately?
Yeah.
Maybe that punishment will be enough.
Okay, got to end.
I think we all living in a hypocritical paradox, and I think that we try to show that we are liberal in our views and in our approach, but in reality, that's not the case. And that is why pornography is being so encouraged. And that is the reason.
Because it's a mask for sexual hypocrisy.
No, it's not the question of mask. I think the students should get their rights to know about sex. And because they don't get it anywhere, that is why they take.
We will have to end it there. I think, Aditi, you raise an important point that if the government is serious about child porn, there should be some action, some visible action on groups that are associated with it. Yes. This is a complex debate. There is no for and against possible in a simple way. Thank you very much.
God bless you. We're going to see some soon.
Okay. Thank you.